Mondays are awesome. At least this one is. CNN Student News is launching into a brand new academic year. We are 10 minutes of international events serving a worldwide audience, and we're grateful you're part of it. My name is Carl Azus. Our coverage today begins with severe flooding in part of the southern U.S. Baton Rouge is the capital of Louisiana. It's in the southeastern part of the state, and the area around Baton Rouge has been soaked. The community of Livingston, for instance, has gotten more than 24 inches, more than 2 feet of rain, and that's since last Wednesday alone. The National Weather Service says that the chance of any area getting this much flooding in a given year is just 1%. At least 3 people have died because of this. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards deployed the National Guard and says more than 7,000 rescues have been made so far. Here you see a man saving a woman and her dog after prying open the convertible top of her sinking car. More rain is expected. A flash flood emergency has been declared in some areas. Now, a quick explanation on the difference between a flood and a flash flood.
This is the radar estimated total. You can see the color coordinated legend at the top of your screen, that shading of white, indicating 500 or more millimeters of rain. And this has significant impacts on the rivers and streams across Louisiana. They all flow into the Gulf of Mexico, of course. This is interesting. This is a flood gauge from the Comite River. And I want you to see that rapid rise in the river. It actually rose 25 feet in 12 hours. And that, my friend, is called flash flooding. That line right there that you see in the top portion of this graph, that is the record flood stage. It actually was higher than that by about 4 feet. Now take a look at this. This is the difference. A flood is a rise of a river or stream out of its natural banks, but a flash flood is the rapid rise of a river or stream, and people just cannot handle a rapid rise in the water, including this 911 call center that had to be evacuated.
National Guard's also been activated in the northern U.S. state of Wisconsin, but for a different reason. On Saturday afternoon, 2 police officers in the city of Milwaukee pulled over a car for what police called suspicious activity. The 2 people inside the car tried to run away on foot. Authorities said one of the suspects, a 23-year-old man, was armed with a gun and that he did not drop it when the officer ordered him to. The officer opened fire and killed the suspect. Violent demonstrations then followed Saturday night. Protesters burned several businesses and cars and threw rocks at police. A city alderman says Milwaukee's been a powder keg for potential violence this summer. He says the area's African Americans have faced injustice, unemployment, and undereducation. Officials plan to meet with church and community leaders yesterday to discuss ways to move forward. This was one of a series of incidents involving U.S. police and communities over the summer. In July, 2 African American men, one in Louisiana and one in Minnesota, were shot to death by police. And in Texas, during a protest over those killings, an African American military veteran killed 5 police officers and wounded 7 others. That shooter was later killed. Violence continues and tensions remain high in several parts of the U.S. Now moving to the southern hemisphere, despite the spread of the dangerous Zika virus, a lasting economic recession in Brazil, government corruption scandals, a suspended president, and widespread violent crime, the show has gone on for the 2016 Summer Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. Opening ceremonies were on August 5th. The Olympics wrap up next Sunday. And when we put this show together, the United States had the lead in total medals won with more than 60. China had earned more than 40 medals, Great Britain more than 30, Russia and Japan rounded out the top 5 medal-winning countries. The values of the medals themselves, a gold is worth about $564, a silver $305, a bronze not as much. But U.S. athletes do have to pay taxes on the medals and the prize money they bring home. In swimming, one athlete's success is bringing money to the sport itself.
The story of Michael Phelps can be told in numbers.
5 Olympic Games.
A gold medal count higher than most countries. Countless calories consumed and hours in the pool. Phelps is the greatest swimmer of all time. But he's always been clear that to him, his career was about more than races won.
I want to change the sport of swimming and take it to a new level. That's the one. It's been the one thing that I've wanted to do my whole entire career.
By any count, Phelps achieved that goal. But aside from records broken and medals won, his biggest contribution to the sport might be the dollars he's earned. Michael Phelps made his Olympic debut in 2000, and even though he didn't win a single medal in Sydney, his potential made him a marketing star. Then in Athens in 2004, he racked up 8 medals and scores of sponsors. Not all of those endorsements survived his assorted controversies, or his foray into, and then out of, retirement. But he still has deals with Under Armour, Omega, and Aqualung, which makes a line of swimsuits under the MP brand. According to USA Swimming, the sport's governing body, Michael Phelps made swimming cool again. And his endorsements and visibility pumped more money into the sport than ever before. Swimming events used to air on a tape delay. Now, they get live primetime coverage. More eyeballs means more attention from sponsors. And more sponsorship money means swimmers can afford to stay in the sport. USA Swimming now pays swimmers a stipend of about $40,000 a year for living expenses and develops programs to let the best swimmers win larger purses it needs. USA Swimming says Phelps will stay on as an ambassador after he retires. So, while all eyes will be on the hard assets he earns in Rio, it's his liquid assets that will leave a lasting legacy.
Got a character study for you today on a 21-year-old Australian man who started with what he called a crazy idea. Put 2 washing machines and 2 dryers in the back of an old van and drive it around washing people's clothes for free. The impact that his nonprofit organization has had goes well beyond hygiene.
Most people take for granted putting a fresh, clean set of clothes on, going for job interviews, just trying to have a chat. You can't really do that with dirty clothes for someone who is sleeping rough and who really doesn't have access to washing and drying their clothes. There's something that's continually overlooked. Orange Sky Laundry is Australia's first ever mobile laundry for the homeless.
Here's our washing machine, obviously to wash the clothes. If the tank's full, we can do about 6 or 7 loads.
First thing in the morning, or really late at night, we're able to go into their communities where they feel comfortable, or wash and dry their clothes for free.
Good morning, Harry.
It's the opportunity to take someone's only possessions and return them in a better condition. We're able to restore respect, raise health standards, and we found ways through our service to actually train and employ our homeless friends. But the biggest thing homeless communities need is that connection.
Carol was just up there before.
We're a service run up by over 622 amazing volunteers who help us foster really genuine conversations. They're not trying to treat anything, they're trying to be really empathetic listeners, and through that opportunity, can have a massive impact on someone's life.
First impressions count a lot. If they see you day after day in dirty clothes, they develop a certain impression about you. But if you can freshen up your clothes, that's a different way in which you're treated.
They come up and talk to you. That's great. That's a young generation that's willing to not be worried about the stigma.
I couldn't think of anything better to be doing in my life right now. The people that we help aren't our customers, they're our friends. No matter who you are, wherever you are, being clean and being confident is something that everyone deserves all around the world.
Before we go, when you gather a whole bunch of people dancing at one time, you have a party. But when you gather more than 1,000 robots dancing at one time, you have a new Guinness World Record. This video comes to us from Shandong, China. Not every robot made the cut. Some fell over or just didn't want to dance. But 1,007 of them, quote, bopped and shimmied, according to Guinness. They were reportedly controlled from a single cell phone. They could certainly pop and lock, and while they didn't appear to moonwalk, they totally owned the electric slide. Maybe those that malfunctioned were simply breakdancing. One thing is for sure, all of them were unstoppable at the robot. CNN Student News is pun-stoppable. Our puns will grow on you, kind of like a pungus. I'm Carl Azuz, a pretty fun guy, and we'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow for our second show.